Welcome to the Global Venture in Review podcast. My name's James Mawson, founder and editor-in-chief of our Global Corporate Venturing, Global University Venturing, and Global Impact Venturing publication. And great pleasure to be back once again this week with Thierry Hennis. Welcome, Thierry.
Hello, Jim. We really are on a roll at the moment, aren't we?
I know. It feels like it's all firing on all cylinders, aren't they? Doing interviews, there's podcasts, there's this podcast on the weekly news, there's Clubhouse, there's obviously all the news and features of magazines and, you know, data and events starting to come back. We're starting to get excited about the next event series in California and London and Tokyo and Sao Paulo and Brazil and a whole host of other places. So feels like it's going to be a pretty exciting second half of the year, if it's not already now as spring occurs. But how have you been this week? How's it been from your side?
Well, I mean, as you kind of alluded there to, I've basically been busy with a lot of interviews for my report on Northern England, which is going to be out in just over a month, end of April. Doing more interviews for our podcasts over on Global University Venturing, talking to some fascinating people. Got some exclusive coming up there as well. So if people aren't subscribed yet, a little bit of a teaser for you. There's going to be some news that we managed to snag that you won't hear anywhere else for a little while longer. Yeah, that's all I can see at this point in time. But yeah, do head on and subscribe to that as well.
Definitely will do. I'll be sort of eagerly listening in for that one. But what about the news that has been reported? What's been the big stories the past week, Thierry?
Well, the biggest deal of the week was payment processing software provider Stripe, which has raised $600 million from investors, including AXA and Allianz X. But the key element to this story is the valuation, which has rocketed from an already huge $36 billion less than a year ago to $95 billion in the latest round. It is another symptom of the surging fintech sector, even though Stripe has not mentioned IPO plans. Its earlier corporate investors, of course, include Alphabet Unit Capital G, Sumitomo Mitsui Card Company, Visa, and American Express.
Yeah, you can definitely see why the sort of credit card companies like Mitsui and Visa and Amex are keen to support Stripe, given that effectively they're trying to be the sort of similar tax on online e-commerce. They take about 3% off all the sort of online transactions that the stores do, and you know, they're trying to make it a bit easier to function. Obviously, Stripe have been sort of particularly interested and interesting in Africa as well, beyond just the sort of main US markets. I think they'll be planning to call into the public reports, use some of the $600 million to kind of tap more into Europe, which is where the founders, the Collinson brothers, hail from. They hail from Ireland, went over to Silicon Valley, you know, have just really sort of found a way into the sort of online commerce world and making a great success of it. So it's fantastic to watch from the sidelines in that regard. But yeah, it definitely feels like we're still sort of scratching the surface of what the future of finance will be, you know, as we get more around issues of what is money of the future, you know, in a sort of in a so-called ZERP world or zero interest rates policies. Also, you know, with a whole host of younger people not looking ahead and trying to work out how they're going to get financial returns, there's a lot of focus on the sort of you only live once, therefore, you know, try a whole host of different things like NFT or non-fungible tokens or other things, just in a sort of, if you can be on the inside and make it work and pump a stock up or pump an asset up and then be able to exit in time, then it's your way of getting rich quick. So it feels a very sort of frenzied environment out there. But obviously Stripe has found a way to, you know, sell the shovels in that particular climate, and you know, it's really sort of reaping the returns in terms of the valuation, obviously.
Well, staying in the financial sector for a second, the drama surrounding Ant Group's failed IPO late last year, combined with Trump's exit as US president, may well have served to pull more China-based tech companies to the latter country for their IPOs. Tencent-backed Internet of Things technology provider Tuya has reportedly priced its IPO above the range and will bag $915 million when it floats on the New York Stock Exchange. Tencent itself has expressed interest in buying some $100 million of shares in the offering.
Well, it's perhaps no surprise that Tencent's interested in buying more shares, you know, once companies are going public. I think there was a great sort of inside scoop by the information on Tencent's returns over the past year. They'll be announcing their annual results on Wednesday, as it happens, for 2020. But the information reckons that Tencent made about $120 billion on its sort of corporate venture and assets last year, this from those of the public. So it's got some money that it can use if it wants to do this. But obviously Tencent has already historically put out almost all of its free cash flow in terms of corporate venture minority investments, whether private or public. And, you know, that works out about $12 or $13 billion per year. So this is a veritable drop in the ocean, but, you know, it's a way of sort of maintaining stakes in their portfolio companies. You know, 2 year will list, it will raise some money, and rather than be diluted down at that, Tencent's just buying and holding. And it's a strategy that's been enormously successful over the past decade or so. Jeffrey Lee was saying in an email earlier this week that he's now celebrating his 10th anniversary at Tencent, running its corporate venturing unit. And I mean, it's probably the most effective and impactful corporate venturing unit out there at the moment, which is probably why he got number one on the GCV power list last year.
That yeah, that was in London still, was that one? I vaguely remember him giving an acceptance speech at the House of Commons.
Yeah, well, that was the year before he gave the actual acceptance speech. He's been number one the past 2 years, actually, hasn't it? But last year he was there, but it was done more virtually or remotely, given COVID.
Yes.
But actually, he says it's good news. He's hopeful to be able to come back to the next live events if travel permits and all the rest of it. But yeah, it's just a phenomenal set of results that I think people are anticipating on Wednesday.
Yeah, I am sure it will be jaw-dropping amounts in there. I'm certainly looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Well, we are staying in Asia for our next one as well. South Korea-based conglomerate SK Group has teamed up with Chinese automotive manufacturer Zhejiang Geely Holding Group to establish a mobility technology fund with a $300 million target for its final close. The corporates are each putting in $30 million and will look to harness European banks and Asian pension funds, among other external backers, in order to raise the rest of the capital.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge focus on mobility in particular at the moment. Obviously, the big news coming out of Europe was Volkswagen's sort of purchase order for $14 billion for some batteries out of Northvolt. You know, so imagine having that as the right. One customer wants to buy $14 billion worth of our stock, please, boss. Can we actually supply that? I bet there was a good degree of head scratching, but obviously I'm being tongue in cheek, given that I'm sure Northvolt and Volkswagen worked out that yes, they could supply that if they provided the money, but build a whole host of different sort of batteries. But it's part of Volkswagen's sort of huge push after Dieselgate, where they were fined 20 odd billion to sort of electrify themselves as a group by 2030, I think it is. You know, so there's a lot of focus from all the car companies on how do they develop the car of the future, electrify, autonomous. And I think creating a sort of corporate venture fund, in effect, between SK and Geely Group, which I think, if memory serves, owns Volvo Cars in Sweden.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, to then sort of try and find other startups that can help. So put a little bit of money in themselves in and get it leveraged by other institutional investors. What's not to like?
Yeah, indeed. Well, when it came to crossover news between the university and corporate worlds, we have a very interesting one for a whole host of reasons this week. Vaccitech, which is the UK-based developer of vaccines for infectious diseases and cancer, spun out of Oxford and is most famous for co-inventing the COVID-19 vaccine with AstraZeneca and the Jenner Institute at Oxford, of course, which has closed a $168 million Series B round backed by Oxford Sciences Innovation, Future Planet Capital, Tencent, Gilead Sciences, and the Monaco Constitutional Reserve Fund, which is the country's sovereign wealth fund. The round was led by M&G Investment Management. Vaccitech actually started out with the aim of developing a universal flu vaccine, and its clinical pipeline now also includes assets aimed at chronic hepatitis B infection, persistent high-risk human papillomavirus infection, and prostate cancer, and it'll use the Series B funding to advance each of these assets through phase 1-2 trials. Vaccitech's earlier backers include GV, which, interestingly, did not return for the Series B round.
Yeah, this does seem interesting. I mean, so GV's obviously been one of the sort of hugely sort of backer of numerous sort of healthcare startups, particularly at some of the early stage. Obviously, GV's the sort of what used to be known as Google Ventures, is sort of Alphabet's one of their corporate venturing units. So they've really made a focus themselves over the past decade or so of backing a lot of healthcare companies and having some great success. And obviously, VaxiTech is one of those. So it seems curious to see that they've not come back into the, what is still effectively a pretty early round, albeit a big one at $168 million. So any sort of any insight on why that might be, Tio, just from what you hear from the street?
Well, there are reports that I think the Wall Street Journal covered this as well, actually, so I think it's fair for us to say this, that VaxiTech is courting investors looking, putting some feelers out around the potential IPO. There are reports that VaxiTech has not seen the agreement that Oxford signed with AstraZeneca, which I imagine they would not be too happy about because they partially co-invented the technology. So they would, they would probably like to see what Oxford and AstraZeneca agreed with each other there. That may have put off GV if there are some agreements that GV would also not have seen in that case. Putting some money into a company where they're not quite clear on where the company stands with regards to at least some of the IP. Can certainly see an investor being cautious in that situation. But yeah, I think the journal said they reached out to the various parties for comment and they've all been silent. So it is partially guesswork what we are doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's certainly, especially with, you would think COVID-19 vaccine co-developed by this spin out, and then GV deciding not to come back is a bit of a an unusual situation.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be a bit of a smoke there, even if we're not sure of what's behind it. But like you say, I mean, certainly if you look at sort of the Modernas and sort of Pfizers of the world, they've developed other, obviously, COVID vaccines. They've been just a sort of sheer number of vaccines which are required is hugely sort of, hugely impactful in terms of the financial results. So, definitely seems like there's something interesting happening here. So, but obviously still feels like for whatever around the COVID-19 vaccine that, VaxiTech has got some sort of really exciting developments underway. If they can get obviously tackle flu as well as Hep B and sort of prostate cancer. Among others, you would imagine, then those are all massive potential markets. World's definitely getting older and half the world's pretty well much is male. So I'm sure there's a lot of people interested in flu and prostate cancer and all the rest of them. So, but then it looks like they finally got the sort of funding to, to sort of help develop out some pretty impressive trials. So I think if memory serves, Thierry, VaxiTech was one of those companies you looked at for your report on all the Oxford spin-outs last year. Are you planning to do that again?
Yes, indeed it was. I think it was you actually who managed to speak to Bill Enright as well, the CEO. Yes, definitely. We are looking to return to Oxford for our October issue. So it's a few months away still, in conjunction with our London Symposium, real life event. I'm really looking forward to that. And then I think there's also going to be Oxford is going to bring in some of their spin-outs together with some other universities. There's still some moving parts to that, I think. But yes, we will return to Oxford, and I am sure VaxiTech will be one of the companies that will feature in that look into the ecosystem. As you know, some others, there's the Conservation Studio that I'm quite excited to learn more about. They have the ARC Accelerator, which is focused on social sciences. So I'm going to be speaking to some people there. But yeah, still a few months away, but definitely already looking forward to doing that.
Okay, well, exciting to learn more. Well, those were big deals indeed. What about more the news in briefs, Thierry?
Well, the news in briefs are still fairly big, as that seems to be the case of this year, really. Gene cell and regenerative therapy developer Elevate Bio has raised $525 million in a Series C round that found space for SoftBank's Vision Fund 2, Itochu, and an unnamed insurer. The round was led by investment management firm Matrix Capital Management, and it pumped Elevate Bio's overall funding up to $845 million since it publicly launched less than 2 years ago. And Robert Bosch, SAIC Motor, and Toyota have co-led a $500 million Series C round for another Chinese tech company, autonomous driving software developer Momenta. The transaction also featured Tencent, again, and Mercedes-Benz, and it's one of the several huge rounds for mobility and transport tech developers so far this year, a sign that investors expect that sector to continue to progress in the coming years. GV still obviously did make investments, GV and SoftBank Investment Advisors, which manages the SoftBank Vision Funds, have contributed to a $400 million Series C round for drug discovery technology provider Insitro. The round boosted the company's funding to more than $640 million, and it is emblematic of the new breed of tech-enhanced drug developers getting investment right now, with GV among the most fervent backers of that space. And PatSnap, the operator of a cloud platform that collates investment and innovation data, is a company with a business model which has benefited from the general rise in the market and has pulled in $300 million in a Series E round co-led by SoftBank Vision Fund 2 and Tencent. Really busy week for Tencent. Both are, of course, among the most active corporate venture capital investors, which implies a strategic element to their participation in the round, which reportedly valued PatSnap at over $1 billion. And Airtable has more than doubled its valuation to $5.77 billion, raising $270 million in Series E funding from investors including media holding company Winder Co. The database software producer plans to channel the proceeds into improving its platform and strengthening its sales and marketing activities. Its overall funding is now around the $620 million mark. And Security Scorecard completed a $180 million Series E round, snatching up funding from investors including Intel Capital, AXA Venture Partners and GV, all existing backers, at a valuation reportedly just short of $1 billion. The round boosted the cybersecurity rating provider's total funding to $290 million, and at a time when data management software providers are raising big money, it shows the importance of securing that high-grade data in the first place. UniteUS, on the other hand, has reached the unicorn stage, raising $150 million in Series C funding from investors including Optum Ventures and Salesforce Ventures, at a valuation topping $1.6 billion. The company provides a cloud platform that enables healthcare providers to coordinate treatment more effectively, and it's now received more than $195 million altogether. And finally, identity verification software provider Socure has breached that unicorn barrier as well, in a $100 million Series D round backed by Synchrony Financial, Citi Ventures and Wells Fargo Strategic Capital that valued it at $1.3 billion. Socure has so far been mainly focused on customers in the financial services sector, but will use the proceeds from the round to expand into other fields. Funds? Well, we have André Maciel, the former managing partner at Telecoms and Internet Group SoftBank's $5 billion Latin America-focused fund, who has extended the first close of his independent venture capital firm's first fund to $80 million. He, along with Gregory Rieder and Melina Oliveira, set up Brazil-based Volp Capital in 2019 with SoftBank's backing. Its first fund also has investment bank BTG Pactual and digital bank Banco Inter as limited partners, according to a report by TechCrunch. Maciel led an investment by SoftBank in Banco Inter, he said, delivered about $1 billion in profits for the corporate. And Canada-based biotech product maker Natural Products Canada, or NPC, plans to raise $39.5 million, or $50 million, for a clean tech corporate venturing fund called NPC Ventures. The company has secured a non-binding term sheet with an undisclosed anchor investor for the vehicle, which will invest in producers of natural alternatives to synthetic products such as plastics and preservatives. NPC Ventures aims to complete its first close this autumn. Exits. We have Robinhood, which may have had much of the publicity in recent months, but it is far from the only big player in the online share trading world. Competitor eToro has more than 20 million registered users and has agreed to list on the Nasdaq Capital Market through a reverse merger with the SPAC called Fintech Acquisition Corp. 5, in a deal that will value it at about $9.5 billion pre-transaction, and the combined company at approximately $10.4 billion. It last disclosed primary funding 3 years ago when it raised $100 million at an $800 million valuation, following a $39 million round featuring corporate VC units Commerce Ventures, Ping An Ventures and SBT Venture Capital in 2015. That is some exit. And Megvii has filed to go public, and the computer vision and deep learning software producer could reportedly raise up to $923 million in the offering, slated to take place on the Shanghai Stock Exchange's Star Market, after fees. Its investors include Alibaba, Foxconn, Legend, Star, and SK Group, and its largest rival, SenseTime, closed a round described as a pre-IPO funding 2 months ago. And Olo, the developer of a software platform that helps restaurants accept online orders, is going public in a $450 million IPO that follows roughly $65 million in equity funding. Some of that cash came from PayPal, a participant in a $5 million round in 2013, and the now profitable company was boosted by a big 2020 that saw it almost double revenue. The offering was priced above a range that had been increased already earlier in the week. And digital banking software provider Alchemy has also filed for an IPO, setting a placeholder amount of $100 million. The move comes 6 months after the company raised $140 million from backers including investment and financial services group Fidelity, and a Reuters report earlier this year suggested it would seek a $3 billion valuation when it looked to go public. And finally, some people news for you as well. Binoy Bansali, former managing director at Sandbox Industries, provider of fund management services for more than 30 Blue Cross Blue Shield health insurers, has joined US-based healthcare provider Scan Group. Scan provides healthcare for patients on Medicare Advantage health insurance plans, and as VP of Corporate Development, Bansali will be responsible for identifying opportunities for strategic partnerships, external investments, and acquisitions. And I already mentioned NPC Ventures earlier just now in the fund section, but there is also some people news here. NPC has hired Christy Miller, founder and former national managing director of business finance provider First West Capital, who will run the fund as managing director. And Risa Halsey, president of Merck & Co.'s MRL Ventures investment vehicle, has joined healthcare-focused investment manager RA Capital Management. She has also reconnected with Joshua Resnick, an inaugural managing partner at MRL Ventures, who joined RA Capital in 2018 to set up its venture funds after a few years in the interim as a partner at VC firm SV Life Sciences.
Wonderful. Thanks for that, Thierry. And being, as you say, another exciting, busy week. So let's see what the next one brings. And I think a few eyes will be on what Tencent does and then follow up with Alibaba. That's the missing trick on that one is Alibaba obviously got a bit whacked by Ant and has definitely slowed down its deal making so far this year. But we shall see what the rest of the year brings. Thanks to you. Speak soon.
Thank you, Jim. And that is it for this week's edition of the Global Venturing Review podcast. As always, these are only the top headlines from the past week. So do head on over to globalcorporateventuring.com, globaluniversityventuring.com, and globalimpactventuring.com to find everything else. And of course, do check back daily to stay on top of the news as it happens. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and if this is your first time listening, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, which we really appreciate because it helps us grow our audience. And don't forget to recommend us to your friends and colleagues as well. Maybe even tweet out the episode or post about it on LinkedIn. Keep an eye out too on Wednesdays for our leadership series where we talk with thought leaders from all over the world to find out more about how they are supporting the innovation ecosystem. If you have any feedback, comments, questions, you can email me at thehelis@globaluniversityventuring.com. That's T-H-E-L-E-S at globaluniversityventuring.com. You can also tweet us at GC Venturing or GU Venturing. My name is Thierry Helis. My co-host is Editor-in-Chief James Mawson. Our sound engineer is Mark Chatterley from In-Ear Production. Do check him out on inearproduction.com for all your podcasting needs. Our intro music is by Kevin MacLeod under a Creative Commons license. We'll be back with more news next Monday. Have a productive week, everyone. Goodbye.